Good morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome into, hey, if you can hear me online, good. I don't think they have me pulled up, but in the house, you can see me and hear me. So welcome to Bay Harbor Church of God on this beautiful Sunday morning. We welcome you. We hope that you are here and going to have a great time, and we are going to help you through that. You hear my mind kind of bobble because I'm looking at the screen. I'm not on there. All right. Anyways, hey, a few announcements before we get things kicked off. First of all is coming up one day this week is a great, great, great time. On Thursday is a special day. We will be honoring somebody special at some point through the service. On July the 22nd is Pastor John Harris's birthday. Everybody say happy birthday, Pastor, a few days early. And we love you. If you're in a comment feed, you can't see me, but you can hear me. Just be sure to... '30s when it starts, and I know once again Pastor Lance and his team are going to be doing a great job, and we look forward to just having a good time with that. Also, students, grade 7th grade and above, we're still doing Squad Wars, had a few more weeks left over, and if you are a part of that or haven't been a part of that, you need to get here. We've got 6 teens, man, they're just going crazy. Maybe you should just drive by and record on your phone for a minute. You might get some YouTube hits if you post it, because these kids are going nuts on Wednesday nights. And they're also getting some Jesus. We've been talking about redeeming their screens before we get started with that stuff. So come get a word and have a great time, fellowship, and hanging out with friends. And that is Wednesday nights at 6:30 for the 7th grade and above and the pre-K through 6th grade. So get them out here, parents and grandparents. And this past weekend, we had a blast with the students and the bridge and the kids. The students and the bridge went to the bridge's 5th and 6th grade. We went to the Braves game. Unfortunately, they didn't pull it out, but we did get a free inning. But, hey, that's okay. Last night, the Braves won. It's good. We had a great time. We got back yesterday afternoon about 4 o'clock-ish, and then we went to the B-Shot concerts with the Kidmen and the bridge over at Golden Isles Church of God, and everybody had such a great time. So, Bay Harbor, we thank you for supporting our kid ministries and just all that you do to help get them here and get them to the events and stuff. But it was a wonderful time. So if you see a bridge that showed up to the B-Shock concert or a student or Kidmen, be sure to ask him how it went. And if you don't know who B-Shock is, check him out on YouTube. He is crazy and whacked out. All right, anyway, so... tomorrow, Second Harvest will begin at 9 o'clock, and we need some volunteers. So if you want to come out and help out with the Second Harvest serving here as we disperse food through the community, we need you here right around 8:30 or so, more than likely, get things set up, get things going. But we're going to start serving at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. So we just urge you to come on out and be a part of that. Students, you don't have school, be here. Come help out. Parents, drop them off and have them come and help. It should be done by noonish. Is my guess. So 9 to 12, come out and hang out with us and help serve the community. But hey, we're getting close to a time to go into worship. So I just urge you that wherever you are, if you're watching online, if you're here in the house, part of the service, that you would just clear all your distractions away. And as we begin to worship God, that we would just lift his name up because he is worthy of it. If he didn't do another thing for me in my life, I have every obligation and every reason to worship him and praise him, and I'm sure you feel the same way this morning. God, we love you and we thank you for who you are. God, we thank you, Lord, that you are the God of this universe and you are the God of this world and you are the almighty provider, supplier. God, you are the healer. God, you're all we need, Father, and I thank you for that. Now, this morning, as we begin to lift you up and worship you, God, worship your name and just magnify it, Lord, we ask that you would just move in our midst. God, those homes that have this stream going to right now, God, you would move in those homes. Father, you'd move around those coffee tables and on those couches, and you would just bless them. God, you'd move in these chairs that's in the sanctuary, and God, you would just have your way. Lord, we praise you. We glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, Bay Harbor. Let's stand to our feet. Let's posture ourselves and praise the Lord. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Come on, are you free? Are you so glad that you're no longer a slave to fear? But you are a child of the Lord. That's why we sing, oh, 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 oh. Y'all try it. I'm no longer there said, "You rescued me so I can stand and sing." What are we doing right now? We're standing and we're giving praise to the Lord. I want you to take your full liberty to do so. He rescued us. He saved us. He set us free. Come on, let's do it in appreciation of his love. Let's sing it. You split.
You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were gone in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child.
Come on, just the voices this time. One more time. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Come on, if you're glad about it, let's give the Lord praise. Your testimony, let's all sing. Yes.
Yes, the world will bow down and say you are God. Every man will bow down and say you are King.
So let's do it right now.
So let's start right now.
We'll sing hallelujah until you come again.
Can you take us there again? So let's sing hallelujah. He's right here. Jesus. Tell him how much you want him. Jesus. Tell him how much you enjoy being in his presence. Jesus. Isn't it sweet to be just in his presence? To be able to sing with reckless abandonment. Yes, the world will bow down and say that you are God. It's going to happen one day. One way or another. But the fact that we get to do it on our own, God. Come before you right now, bowing down, singing praise to you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Yeah. So sweet it is to be touched by you. Listen, whatever it is you need from the Lord, this is your time. Ask. Ask expecting.
Come. heart to victory. You are my strength and you always will be.
Listen. I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises and fulfillment all over my life, all over my life.
Let's sing that again. If you see the evidence, let's sing. I'll see. Do you see the cross? Let's sing it.
See the cross in the grave. The evidence is endless. All my sin is thrown away because of you, Lord Jesus. See the cross in the grave. The evidence is endless. All my sin is thrown away because of you, Lord Jesus.
Sing,
I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over.
Come on, let's go. See the cross, the empty grave.
See the cross.
So here's a good question for you. Say, why should I fear?
Why should I fear?
Ask yourself. Let's all sing it. Say, why? Whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light and my salvation. God, we thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, let's continue to worship.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Part out. Just fill as much information as you feel comfortable doing so. And at the end of the service, take it to the back of the sanctuary. Miss Amy's back there. We have a gift we want to share with you, and that is first, second, and third time. So if you've been here before, fill it out, do it again. If you're viewing online this morning, we welcome you. We ask that you just share this live stream. You plaster it everywhere, and there's a guest card on our website and our church app that you can fill out as well, and we will send you a gift. But we thank you for joining us this morning in this service, guys. Also, we want to give you an opportunity right now to continue worshiping through your giving. First of all, I want to take a moment just to thank you for what you do, Bay Harbor family. How you give is incredible. the things we do in this church through the fact that you give such a second harvest we're going to be doing tomorrow is all because of your faithfulness. So we thank you for that. But in that same chair pocket, there's a giving envelope. Many different ways. See on the screen, different ways you can give. Text it in. You can go to the website. You can visit our app. Or you can place it in the black box at the back of the sanctuary on the way out the door this morning. But as Pastor gets ready to come on up, we do want to take just a few minutes and just recognize the fact that he still looks young, but he's not as young as he was. Does that work?
Yeah.
He will be growing a little older to Thursday, so be sure that you reach out to him on Thursday. Blow his phone up if you've got a cell phone. We love you, Pastor.
Well, praise the Lord. We've gotten older since we've been in the service this morning. It's a fact of life, but it is an honor to be able to celebrate life, and that comes through Jesus Christ. And so grateful that he is with us this morning, and we're glad that you are here, as Pastor Bobby has already said. What a wonderful experience of worship this morning. And if you are new to the Pentecostal experience, the Lord interrupted what we had planned so he could speak a word to us. And the word came out very passionately this morning because it's deep from within. There is nothing to fear. There is nothing to fear. Jesus Christ is the one, and I believe we've received confirmation of it through the song that we sang this morning, and we're going to continue to experience what the Lord has. And so if you don't mind, for just one more second, would you stand with me? And let's prepare ourselves to get into the word, but also to what he wants to do at the end of it. We're continuing our series, Living in Liberty. Today, if you'll turn with me to Galatians chapter 3, looking at verse 14, I want to read a passage to you, a verse to you this morning. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessings he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. Father, we love you today and we thank you for who you are and for what you're doing in this house already today. There are already chains that are being broken in people's lives. Father, there's already works that you are doing. And Father, we just pray that you'll continue to move and you'll continue to touch not only the people who are standing with me this morning, but God, the people who are standing in agreement with me online and in different places around this world of yours. We just ask that you would have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Today's sermon title is a little bit different. It is Let Freedom Reign. We're more familiar, perhaps, with the phrase, let freedom ring. You know what that means, don't you? Freedom is the contact that you have on your phone for the person that you don't want to answer. So when they call, you just let freedom ring. Maybe you were introduced to the phrase when you learned the patriotic song America in elementary school, Our Country, Tears of Thee. It ends with, let freedom ring. Or maybe your mind goes back to the historic speech that Dr. Martin Luther King gave in 1963 in Washington, D.C., where at the heart of his message wasn't just, I have a dream, but it was a call to let freedom ring from every hamlet and every village. But the phrase, let freedom reign, has a certain ring to it to me. As we look across time, it's actually in 1994 when Nelson Mandela was inaugurated as the president in Africa. He said that never, never, and never should we be found guilty of oppressing ourselves. And he gave the charge for them to no longer be the skunk of the world, but to let freedom reign, before concluding, God bless Africa. George W. Bush in 2004 was in a NATO meeting in Istanbul when he received a message from Dr. Condoleezza Rice that said, Iraq is sovereign. And he replied, let freedom reign. Many have scoffed at him, saying that he messed up the phrase, but I think that he got it right. And today, as we begin to look at what this means in our lives, if you want to live in liberty, it will come through allowing freedom to reign in your life. And the way that freedom will reign in your life is through the operation of the Holy Spirit inside of your life. And so as we begin to look at this in the short epistle of the book of Galatians, Paul, in those 149 verses, he has numerous references to the Holy Spirit in operation. Numerous times throughout that short book, he mentions the Holy Spirit's operation in the lives of the believers. So after we have a quick conversation about who the Holy Spirit is, we will conclude today by looking at three areas that the Holy Spirit will work in our lives as believers. So who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the third person of the triune Godhead. Even though he's mentioned last, it does not mean that he's less significant than the Father and the Son. Matter of fact, his role is prominent. And what I see in him is that even though there are divine mysteries that we have concerning who he is and really how God works within himself, the interrelatedness of God, not only within himself and community, but also within us, is one of those mysteries that should not push us away from him, but draw us closer because we understand that he is bigger. It is what I call the divine otherness of God. It is those times and those places that we can't even begin to fathom how God operates and how God works. The first reference that we have within Scripture to the Holy Spirit is found in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, where we find that he was hovering over the face of the deep. It was before creation even came into being, and the Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the deep, and creation would be soon following behind. I see within the Hebrew word ruach that there is the idea of God being the breath, the wind, the life force behind all of creation. In the New Testament, the word pneuma relates to that. But what I see in this is the idea that the role of the Holy Spirit within our life always revolves around life. It comes around life. He is the one who creates life, and he is the one who sustains life. And as he relates to us, he relates to us, and we experience him in power. It is within power that we see the Holy Spirit operating within our lives. He not only operates within power, but he also operates personally. He is the one who has a will, has an emotion, he can be grieved. There are elements of the Holy Spirit that we see that he is the one that is powerful, but he's also the one that is personal. We see his personality on display, and he is the one who knows all things. Therefore, he has the ability to guide us into all truth. He's the one that leads us. And then lastly, we see that he is present. We get to experience the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives. Just like we did this morning, he was here in this place this morning, and he is still here right now. And when you begin to think about that within your minds, it's almost unbelievable, but it is also undeniable because he is just that real to us. I don't know if you noticed, but within those three characteristics, there are three of them that stand out to me because he is all powerful, he is all knowing, and he is everywhere, and that is the Holy Spirit. So if we will keep those three parts of him, his existence amongst us in mind, then it'll help us as it relates to the work that he wants to do in us. And there's three works that he wants to do within us. First, the Holy Spirit works on us. He works on our lives. This is when he begins to bring conviction to us. This is when he begins to draw us into his presence and to the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Paul was at a place within his life, and I love what he said in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 22. He talks about the fact that we are prisoners, that the scriptures declare that we are all prisoners of sin. So we receive God's promise of freedom only by believing in Jesus Christ. It is Jesus and Him alone who lives inside of us. And He is the one that has provided salvation for us. But the Holy Spirit is the one who delivers it to us. He's the one that walks up beside us when we're walking through the darkness of life. And He shines the light and reveals who Jesus Christ is. That is exactly what Jesus did for Paul on the road to Damascus. He was at a place where he was religious, but Paul was not righteous. He was at a place that he was a sinner in need of a Savior. There was something inside of his life. And when he had that, the veil that blocked his revelation of who Jesus Christ is was removed from his eyes. And he finally, after all those years, saw Jesus for who Jesus really was. We look and Paul would write in Corinthians that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And as Pentecostals, we love that verse because we love the idea of freedom in our worship. But that's not necessarily what he was talking about in context. In context, it is the Holy Spirit who comes and he provides liberty to us when he removes the veil that hinders us from seeing who Jesus is. So where the Spirit of the Lord comes in through salvation, he removes the blinders that have been upon our eyes and we can see Jesus as Savior. Jennifer and I had a most incredible anniversary. I know I've got a birthday that's coming up this week, but we were able to celebrate our 26th anniversary this past week with a trip to New York. It's been a few years. Yeah. Been a few years since we've been up there, but I got a good price on tickets and a coupon and a good hotel stay, but we had an incredible time. But as we were in the Uber heading from the airport to the city, we had a cab driver named Adam. That was his English name. He was from Ghana. And I felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And through, I didn't know how the Lord was going to do it or what he was going to do, but I knew I had to begin to talk to this man. And the door was cracked open and we just busted through it. I asked him, I said, "Are you a follower of Jesus Christ?" And he said, "No, I'm a Muslim." And we began to share. We talked about politics and polygamy. We talked about prophets. We talked about the Shahada. We talked about Sharia law, and we talked about everything. And finally, the conversation began to shift, and it was good. And I said, "Adam, if you were to die today, would you make it to paradise?" And he stopped for a moment, and he said, "Only if Allah wills it. I am at Allah's mercy as to whether or not I would make it." So I continue, is what he was inferring, to continue to do the works that I'm doing. And I said, the sad thing in that for me personally, and I read him Galatians 3 and 22. The sad thing for me was the fact that even if he made it, and I told him this, I said, "Even if you make it to paradise, there's no guarantee that you would be there for eternity. Because according to your word, the Quran, if Allah determines that he doesn't want you to be in paradise any longer, then he could send you to your version of hell. There's no guarantee in that. But yet within my faith, because I believe that Jesus is more than just a prophet, but the Messiah, there is guarantee of where I will spend eternity. And I don't have to work to obtain it. He has given it to me." I know that that seems like an extreme case. And we seem so far away from being a Muslim. But I'm going to tell you what I sense in here this morning. There are so many of you and so many of you that are watching. They're in the same situation. You are religious, but you're not righteous. You believe, but you are still bound. And until the veil of misunderstanding is removed from your life and you see Jesus for who he truly is, you will never feel and experience true freedom in your life. But when you do, there's a change that happens. You're no longer a slave, but you are sons and daughters. And you have the privilege, as Paul would say, to call on the Father as Abba Father. There is an intimacy that you get to experience. There is something deep inside of you that you get to have. And that is because of the freedom that's been afforded you by the Holy Spirit through what Jesus Christ has done. When you allow that to reign in your life, there's a change within you. I believe that there are some of you that have gone through the motions, and I'm just being obedient to the Lord this morning. There are some of you that have gone through the motions so long that you do not know what it's like to have a relationship. You might go to church and you might dress the part, but there's something missing in your life and you've never truly experienced freedom that he has for you. And you're no different than Adam. Wow. Didn't see that happening this morning. I love you. I love you. The second work is not only does he work on us, but the Holy Spirit also works in us. He works in us, changing us. Day by day, as we grow in grace, there's a change inside of us to become more like Jesus. And I am so thankful for it. This process that they call sanctification is not an easy one, but it's a rewarding one. And it's one that Paul struggled with. Paul himself struggled with the reality. He said in Romans 7 that there are things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I end up doing. He said, I'm all over the place. But there's a process of work, and it was a huge process within his life because he was so bound by the law and he was so bound by religion that he thought he had everything that he was doing that was right. And to see that severed in his life was a huge step for him. It was huge for him to get to that place, and it was a work of the Holy Spirit. And some of you are sitting in here today and wondering what that process is looking like for you. I know that there's changes that have taken place and that are taking place in your life right now. I've been around some of you. Some of you have dropped the F-bomb in my office. And I didn't have to say anything. The Holy Spirit's the one who brings conviction. I don't bring judgment. I just sit back and watch the Holy Spirit work. Because over time, you begin to realize what I just said. And before time, you begin to realize that you're not even saying it anymore. The Lord works in our life. And when we live by the Holy Spirit, there's a change inside of us. You need to understand something. I'm going to be patient with you through the process because you've been patient with me. And God's still working on me. But there comes a time where you need to grow up and you need to understand what he's doing. But here's what I want you to realize, that when you walk and you allow the Holy Spirit to have free reign in your life, there's a change that takes place. When you live by the Spirit, there is hope. There is life-giving hope inside of you. Look at what Paul would say concerning this. He knows that there is a promise that's available to us in the Spirit. We have this eager anticipation of something that's going to happen. And that verse is not just, it is prophetic. It's prophetic in the fact that there's something big that's happening. But yet it's prophetic in the fact that God's working in your life. You don't have to be stuck where you were. You don't have to be the mean, aggravating person that you've been all your life. When God comes inside of your life, there's a change that takes place, and he's working inside of your life. So there is hope in Jesus Christ for you today. There's also a change when we allow the Holy Spirit to work inside of our life. We won't do what our sinful nature craves. Look at what Paul says. Our sinful nature craves the things of the flesh. It craves what is evil, and there's a battle that's raging inside of you. In Tom and Jerry language, it would be the devil on one side and the angel on the other. But it's that sin nature and the Spirit of God that are at war within each other. And God is saying, if you'll let my Spirit have reign in your life, you'll experience a freedom that there won't be fear that you're going to mess up, or fear that you're going to fail, or fear that you're going to go back. No. There's promises upon your life, and you won't want to do what you used to do. My theological definition of sanctification is that it's when God changes your want to. I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. I don't want to say that. I don't want to look at that. I don't want to drink that. I don't want to smoke that. I don't want to say that. There's a change inside of my life that I experience through the freedom of the Holy Spirit when he begins to work inside of my life. It changes my want to. I want to serve him. I want to live for him. I want to give for him. I want to do for him. I want him to change. How many of you want him to change your want to? I want to be like Jesus. And lastly, there will be a fruit, spiritual fruit that will be grown in our life. I know we like Galatians chapter 5 when it begins to talk about the fruit of the Spirit that is cultivated inside of us. I'm going to tell you, you know that's a work of the Spirit. Because there's times I don't feel kind and patient. There's times I don't feel loving. And so when that gift begins to come out of me, I know it's God. But what I like is at the end of it. If you'll notice at the end of this, he says that his Spirit should move in every part of your life. When you live in the freedom of the Spirit, then he's not just talking about your Sunday life. He's not just talking about your parenting life. He's not just talking about your school life. He's talking about every area of your life. He moves in every area. Somehow, I was separated from Jennifer on our anniversary trip, and I ended up in a place by myself with an attendant named Will. Will told me that he had struggled through his life with drugs, alcohol. He made the trip across the river to live in the city, and he thought that he would have a fresh start, but he ended up in the same problems. For over 30 years, he was an addict. And what got the conversation started is I asked him how COVID affected him. He said, well, it was tough, but thank God we made it, and there was my open door. Bam. God, that's it. He's the one that made it. And he just began to share his story. He said, I was raised in the church. Somewhere along the way, I became addicted. I thought the move would change things, but it didn't. Matter of fact, they got worse. I believe is what he said, and as he was talking about things, I said, well, what brought the change in your life? He said, the change came because there was something inside of me. I was literally dying. The doctor diagnosed me with high blood pressure, heart problems, lung problems, all these issues, and I knew that if something didn't change, I was dying. So I called out to Jesus, and he saved me. You see, it's one thing to be freed from the penalty of sin, but it's another thing to be freed from the sinful nature. And that's what he experienced. He said that over time, there was something that happened, and within 30 days, I stopped, this is his words, I stopped the drugs, and I was on crack. I stopped drinking, and I stopped smoking. And God completely cleansed my life and set me apart to be holy unto him. That is the work of the Holy Spirit within our lives. He works on us. He works in us. But he also works through us. I love this part. This is when he empowers us to witness to others about Jesus. I love this because when you begin to think about it, as God is working through you, he's working on somebody else. And we're in partnership with him in the process. And this is why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so vital in our lives. Many of us have chased after the experience for us personally, not for what it will do in the kingdom of God. And so he after subsequent to a clean heart, he comes into our lives. Paul alluded to this in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 5. In this passage, this verse, you don't see much, but obviously there were signs and wonders and miracles that were done among the people. That's significant to me. Because signs and wonders and miracles always pointed people to salvation in Jesus Christ. They always had a purpose of leading people back to Jesus Christ. And it was all about Him. There again, that's the role of the Holy Spirit. It is around life. It is about life. And so that's why it's important. That's why when Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit, then they were punished so severely, because there's life that's associated with the Spirit. And if you're away from the Holy Spirit, there's no life that's guaranteed. And so in this, what we see is that there were wonders and miracles that were being done. And so it tells me that He is wanting to work through our lives as well. An interesting encounter happened around this time. Acts chapter 14 tells us that Paul was in the area of Galatia. And while he was there and was speaking and preaching, there sat a man beside him who was crippled. Never in his life had he ever walked on his own two feet. And he was sitting there, absorbing what Paul was saying. But then it says that Paul looked at him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, Paul said, "Stand up and walk." And instantly the man began to stand, and he walked around. Now I rejoice. Some of you should have already been shouting. But I rejoice in the fact that God has the power to cause the lame to stand and walk. But what I see in this passage is also equally deep. Because in the midst of it, it was the look of Paul. It was the look. It was the Holy Spirit moving inside of him with the look. When you're walking in the full empowerment of the Holy Spirit, you will not look at life the same way that everyone else does. I didn't take anything to run with while I was gone for these past couple of days. I wanted to focus on my wife, but I still couldn't sleep in. So I got up early in the morning, and I would just walk the streets of New York. And as I was walking, I could see things. I saw that in the early morning hours, that's when those who had a rough night the night before began to stir. I had breakfast in Bryant Park, or not breakfast, but coffee in Bryant Park, where I watched a man get into the fountain and bathe himself. It's easy for us to sit in places of judgment and say, well, it was their decisions that led them to that place. But when you are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, you see life differently. You see in them sons and daughters, moms and dads, brothers and sisters. You see humans is what you see. People that have a name. People that are walking around, going to work, and you begin to see souls. As Paul was preaching that day, he looked and he saw something. It was the Spirit who gave him discernment. That is why we need His Spirit even right now. You know, we don't see the Holy Spirit, but His effects are all around us. They're undeniable. If you want to see the effects of what the Holy Spirit is able to do, look right here. Because I'm one that has experienced what He's done in my life. The change, the evidence is all around us of the goodness of God. But I got to ask you, what's holding you back from allowing freedom to reign in your life? What is holding you back from experiencing everything that God has for you to experience? What are you holding on to and not being willing to give to Him? If you will allow freedom to reign in your life, you'll encounter God in ways that you've never thought even possible. There's a whole nother world. He will change your marriage. He will change your job.
because he'll change you. If you will, stand with me this morning. Wow. I sense him in this place today. I got to share this with you. September of 1777, George Washington's troops were defeated in Pennsylvania. The citizens of Philadelphia were fearful that the British troops would head their way. They were scared that they would overtake them, so they had all the prominent bells in the city removed. The fear was is that they would take those metal objects and melt them down, forge them down into cannons to be used against them. But there was another reason. The bells were popular in their times because they were symbols of freedom, the greatest of which was the Liberty Bell. So it was determined they would take the bells and hide them. So putting them on a hay wagon covered with hay, they led them out of the city into what would become Allentown, Pennsylvania, under heavy guard. They hid them in the Zion Reformed Church under the floors of the church. They stayed there for approximately 9 months until it was safe for the bells to return to the place that they belong and so that they could ring. Pastor, what are you saying? We have hidden the symbol of our freedom for far too long. The Holy Spirit cannot be confined to a building, to a church, to a movement, to a denomination. He can't be hidden in our lives. But we've got to let him have free reign in our lives. When you allow the Holy Spirit to reign in your life, it will ring out for all the world to hear. Father, I thank you today for the power of your Spirit. I thank you for what we are made aware of in this place today. Father, may you have your way within our lives. If you're listening this morning and you've not experienced freedom in Jesus that the Holy Spirit wants to deliver to you, he is here. If you're watching today, we're so grateful that you have been with us. The Holy Spirit wants to, he is working on your life, in your life, but also through your life. If you've not accepted him as Lord and Savior, today is the day. If you will, you can text or call this number, 912-262-1227. There's somebody waiting for you right now to come in and to talk to you, lead you into freedom, and pray that you'll experience liberty. You begin to live in it. We appreciate you being with us today. Thank you for watching. God bless you.